As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show-me showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. And welcome to our Wednesday, April the 21st, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're not alone, but you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of the philosophical radicalism where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. To be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free, 866-841-1065. Your calls are always welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96 out of Exeter, Mo, small town America, Exeter, Mo, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Big shout out as always to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, and AM 1710 Liberty Radio. Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you all for broadcasting. Become vocal local to your local listening audiences. Our call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. That contact information and so much more available on the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage. Of course, your calls are always welcome. Goldman Sachs today plays the blame game. Fraud charges by the Securities Exchange Commission paves the way for regulation legislation, Metals Week and all that in the news today. The history of law, readings in law, empiricism, enlightenment, John Locke, and so much more. Of course, we'll take your calls as well. Let's go to that market report for Wednesday, April the 21st, 2010. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. But 1 hour ago, we find gold trading down $1.60 at $1,138.80 an ounce. Somebody please jumpstart gold off $1.60. Silver this morning off 4 cents at $17.78. Still back below that 18 level again. Platinum, a big winner here, keeps moving up, leaving gold in the dust, moves up another $14. Platinum trading at $1,729 a troy ounce. Palladium, likewise, stronger still, up another $6 at $556 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,136.90 for a low, $1,147 for a high. But at $1,138.80, your gold is still up $255.60 an ounce year to year for a 28.94% return on your investment in the noble metal. The London Gold Fix this morning, the boys in the London Bullion Market Association, they're still not off the radar in my book. They set the price at $1,143.75 and gold dropped. Well, that's the way that went. Anyway, the SPDR gold shares this morning are still showing 1,141.04 tons in their treasure chest and a State Street price, if you will, at $41.98 billion. Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 25 today. The NASDAQ was up as well as the S&P. We'll pick it all up right there on the other side of these words from our sponsors.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Seed Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Seed Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Seed Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, Seed Panel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit seapanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, seapanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, welcome back to our Wednesday, April the 21st, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local as we throw off the shoreline and get underway here. We come to you Monday through Friday live right on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oracalebroadcasting.com. Let's go back in and close out this market report for this morning. Again, active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. An hour ago, we found gold trading down $1.60 and $1,138.80, silver off 4 cents. At $17.78 an ounce, platinum up $14 at trading at $1,729 an ounce. The palladium number is up another $6 as well at $556. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, about a $10 spread in there. But anyway, we're looking at $255.60 year-to-year gain on gold for a 28.94% return on your investment. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 25 yesterday. They're trading at 11,117 or 11,117. Enough 11s to choke a horse. The NASDAQ was up 20 at 2,500. The S&P was up 10, closing at 1,207. The crude oil this morning loses a penny, but still way too high, $83.84, just in time for farming and ranching season. Boy, don't you like that. The U.S. dollar index this morning, the Intercontinental Exchange Inc.'s little trade-weighted basket of currencies, the USDX, moves up 21 basis points, trades at 81.26, hasn't really impacted gold, but It is. It's in the matrix. Let's put it that way. The Forex, of course, is impacted by that today. The Canadian dollar, the Canadian loonie, moves up another 18 basis points, and for the first time in a long time, trades on the high side of a dollar. Now fully $1 U.S., so you're trading your Canadian dollars straight across the counter. Over the counter trade, they say, you know, $1 for $1. Canadian loonie and U.S. dollar at parity. The Mexican peso this morning moves up 22 basis points, trades at 8 cents U.S., again on the high side of 8 cents. The euro drops 32 basis points, trades at $1.34. The British pound, you can fill them up there this morning, it moves up 23 basis points and trades at $1.54. So if you're going to go to London for any reason, you'll be trading $1.54 for a British pound. The Swiss franc drops 21 basis points, still fulfilling the Swiss central banker's desire for a weaker franc. It was near parity with the U.S. dollar also just a month or so ago until the bankers changed their monetary policy. But anyway, dropping 21 basis points, the Swiss franc exchanges for 93 cents U.S. This bond market this morning, the yield on the bond market, the yield on the bonds, the treasuries, 2 years are yielding 1.02%. Again, back over a one. And we're dipped down a little bit earlier this week, below one. The 10-year is running at 3.77%. The 30-year is at 4.64%. And in the mortgage market, the 15-year mortgage continues to rise, moving up from 4.37% to 4.42%. 4.37% a month ago to 4.42% this morning in those 15-year fixed mortgages. The 30-year market, likewise, moving up from 5.02 a month ago to 5.16%. That's the market news for this morning. But back into the market, it seems to be just about the mainstay these days. Goldman sucks. You know, I like to say that. I just like to say that. Like to rub their dirty little noses in the dirt whenever we can. Goldman Sachs says the SEC case hinges on actions of one employee. So they're playing the blame game here. We knew this was going to come down the pike this way, but they're nailing a young man. They want to try and lay the blame on this fellow. I don't think they're going to get away with it. Certainly the court of public opinion doesn't agree with this. But here's the article. New news right off of Bloomberg. Goldman Sachs Group, Inc. said the U.S. fraud case against the firm hinges on the actions of the employee it placed on paid leave this week. That's going to be the end of this fella's job, I would imagine. Fabrice Tour. My goodness. How did the frog say that anyway? Fabrice Tour. The 31-year-old Goldman Sachs executive director, who was accused of misleading investors about a mortgage-linked investment in 2007, will also be deregistered from the Financial Services Authority. Here's a man that's not going to get a chance to work anytime soon. A spokeswoman at the firm in London said yesterday, that's right, what happens in Goldman Sachs is supposed to stay in Goldman Sachs, and they don't like this. They had to take a fall guy, and they're bringing him out. It's all going to be a factual dispute about what he remembers and what the other folks remember on the other side. All about what we remember. Nothing ever got written down, obviously. Greg Palm, Goldman Sachs co-general counsel, said in a call with reporters yesterday, definitely all lawyered up on this one, without naming Tour. Quote, if we had evidence that someone here was trying to mislead someone, that's not something we'd condone at all, and we'd be the first one to take action. Can you believe that mouthpiece? Right out of the mouth of Beelzebub. If we had evidence that someone here was trying to mislead someone, how many times do the Goldman Sachs trade against their customers? So many times that even somebody dumber than a dirt like me down in Missouri can figure this one out. By characterizing the case as a dispute involving a single employee, Goldman Sachs says it may be taking its first steps to publicly distance itself from Tour in the case, some lawyers said. That could reduce bad publicity and ultimately make it easier for the company to settle the case. And that's an important phrase, settling the case. You're going to find that this is very likely what's going to happen. It ain't going to court. Goldman Sachs may also want to, dropping down a little bit, talking about vicarious liability. Let's see if I got that right. Did I get it? No, I want to say the rest of that. Goldman Sachs may also want to separate itself from two, or if it's concerned, he will cooperate with the SEC. Separating itself from Tour, if it's concerned that he will cooperate with the SEC or implicate more senior employees, said Anning Dum Blajean, a professor at Tulane University Law School in New Orleans and a former attorney fellow at the SEC. Vicarious liability. See, when we've been studying all of this stuff about business law, all the various discussions on law. Okay, so we learned a little bit about it all. Anyway, I've learned a lot about it. I'm seeing more in this article than I've ever seen in my life, but I understand a little bit more about it, and this is the benefit of self-educating yourself, bringing yourself up to speed on some of these more complex issues. Again, if Tour says Goldman's board knew what we were doing, you can imagine Goldman will want to portray him as disgruntled, you know, the disgruntled employee, or willing to lie to avoid punishment, the professor said, copping a plea, bargaining here. That may not help the firm itself, he added, quote, under theories of vicarious liability. There you go now, under theories of vicarious liability. For all of our law students out there, punch that one up in your browser, Google, Scoogle, Dogpile, or Web Ferret, and find out more about the theories of vicarious liability. If you can find Tourable liable, it's going to be hard for Goldman to escape. And there's a relationship. Remember, we talked about principals, agents, and third parties. And so here, an agent for Goldman Sachs is involved, but Goldman remains the principal, and the principal has duties as well as rights. We'll be right back.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known, with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christo's Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christo's Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays from Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so you can imagine it would be reasonably difficult for Goldman to weasel on this one, but they're going to try. Goldman's board knew what we were doing. If Tor says that, you can imagine the problems that goes down there. And I think that we're going to see as this develops, Goldman's board is going to have absolutely known what was going down here. But Pamela Chapiga, a lawyer for Tor at Allen and Overy LLP in New York, didn't return a call seeking comments. But the New York-based bank has previously denied wrongdoing, said it'll fight the SEC case because it is, quote, completely unfounded in fact and law. Right. The SEC sued Goldman Sachs and Tour for misleading two investors in a collateralized debt obligation about the role played by hedge fund Paulson & Company, ACA Management LLC, which served as the CDO's selection agent, didn't realize that Paulson planned to bet against the deal, even though the fund was advising ACA on the portfolio, the SEC alleged. IKB, Deutsche Industrial Bank, an investor in the CDO, didn't know about Paulson's role at all, the SEC said. He said, she said. We talked about that the other day. Read to you a little bit about what is hearsay evidence. The SEC complaint clearly revolves around a little bit of he said, she said, Palm said, and hinges on whether Tour misled ACA into believing that Paulson was investing in the deal instead of betting against it. Byron Gorgiou, or something like that, a member of a U.S. panel that's investigating the financial crisis, said he doubts Goldman Sachs could make a convincing case that Tour acted alone and without the full support of his superiors. Listen to this now. It's hard to imagine that there wasn't some supervision of a 27-year-old at that time trader structuring a billion-dollar transaction on which Goldman made a $15 million fee, close quote, Gorgiou, who serves on the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission, said in a Bloomberg television interview. And boy, if you want to find out more about this article, it's available on the web at Bloomberg.com. And it's all followed up by a half a dozen or more different videos as you can go out. You can listen to all of these various reports that are hitting the news. They're making a big deal out of this one. Palm said Tour believes that he indicated to ACA that Paulson was interested in taking short positions on the deal, meaning he was betting against it, Palm said. Our employee certainly knows that he did not represent to ACA or indicate in any way that Paulson was going to be an equity investor on this transaction, blah, blah, blah. Goldman Sachs, which vowed on April the 16th that it would, quote, vigorously contest, close quote, the SEC suit, isn't ruling out a potential settlement. Watch this one. Watch it now. Here's the quote. You go to trial, which is what we're doing. And you always have the option, if there is an agreeable settlement to both sides, of settling at any point in time, close quote, he said. That's right. That's right. They'll go to a little bit of arbitration. They'll sit down, plea back and forth. They'll settle out of court. And we won't see much of this one, but it's not over yet. Republicans signal thaw in the battle over financial rules bill. This by Patrick O'Connor and Allison Bechtin. We're going to find out a little bit more now in a moment about all of this dual writing, collaborative writing assignments. Patrick O'Connor, Allison Bechtin, as if these people can't write an article by themselves. Well, no. See, that's not what's happening these days. But that's another story. We'll go there in a moment. Again, Republicans signal thaw and battle over financial rules bill. You can find it up on Bloomberg today. New news. Senate Democrats and Republicans signaled they were nearing a compromise, willing to compromised their principles for relationship, no doubt, on an overhaul of financial industry regulation, even as they continued to face obstacles over derivatives and a consumer protection agency. That's what we really need, isn't it? A consumer protection agency inside the Federal Reserve? Will Beelzebub cast out Beelzebub? Don't think so. Quote, there's a new element of seriousness, said Republican leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. After Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada said Democrats are considering dropping plans for a $50 billion fund to unwind failed banks that Republicans oppose. Republican Senator Rich Selby, left, right, Republicans and Democrats. Are you sick and tired of this? I certainly am. Another cup of coffee. Maybe a blueberry muffin would settle my stomach. Republican Senator Richard Shelby of Alabama said that he and the measure's Democratic author, Banking Committee Chairman Christopher Dodd, bye-bye Dodd of Connecticut, are close to an agreement on this legislation. Quote, I believe that we're going to get us a bipartisan bill. Close quote. Shelby told reporters, I believe that we're going to get us a bipartisan bill. Intellectually challenged. Certainly that. Maybe he was just speaking off the cuff. I don't know. I misspeak from time to time, too. Shouldn't strike him too heavily. But that's rather weird English. We're probably conceptually tougher together on 85% of the bill. Conceptually together on 85% of the bill. At the same time, Reid reiterated that he intends to bring the bill to the floor this week or next, even though Republicans called for more negotiations. It's all about setting up a consumer protection bureau. The remaining sticking points in the talks, from more stringent regulation of derivatives markets to the creation of a consumer protection agency inside the Federal Reserve. Brilliant. Could stall any momentum on both sides as they gear up the initial floor vote as early as this week. Well, you can see this one going just about as big as the health care bill. But, of course, this won't have quite, I don't believe, the same influence or the same impact. People aren't very happy about it. Nevertheless, there seems to be a little bit of displeasure all around the country. Here locally, we've got an endless flood of infrastructure bond issues that are being floated. Well, they're having trouble in New Jersey. New Jersey voters defeat Ridgewood TNX school budgets. Update 2, this by Terrence Dopp, again off Bloomberg New News. New Jersey voters rejected budgets for school systems, including Ridgewood, Edison, and TNX, yesterday after the district sought to raise property taxes that are already the highest in the United States. This is what becoming vocal local is all about. Get out there and speak truth to power. Get people to understand that this is the place where we can actually be effective. And you shut this sort of garbage down before it ever comes on us and at us. As they say, getting these sort of things repealed is so much easier to block it, to block the globalist agenda before it becomes lodged in the body politic than it is to exact it or extract it later on after it's metastasized. Voters turned down 260 of 479 budgets in 19 counties, or 54%, according to incomplete tallies reported by the Associated Press. A total of 537 school plans were considered. The last time a majority of the proposals failed in the state was in 1976, when 56% were rejected, according to data from the New Jersey School Boards Association. Most of New Jersey school districts proposed increasing local levies to fund spending plans. That's right. John Maynard Keynes, right? Keynesian School of Economics. Just go ahead and spend your way into prosperity, even if it impoverishes the people. But this time, the people spoke up. Some of the amounts of taxes in this article were just enough to shock a whale, no doubt about that. But the plan would have raised the local levy by $474 on the average home. $475 would have raised it again. Some of these people, let's see, here it is. The plan would have raised the local level by $474 on the average home, assessed at $466,100. Right. These are expensive homes. These guys are paying some serious bucks in taxes, I guarantee it, okay? Baluska said preliminary results showed Hunterdon County as the county with the largest percentage of rejections. Now we'll close out this article on the other side. Big money going down here, and people are saying no to government spending.
The home of cutting-edge talk radio. Online, worldwide, at oraclebroadcasting.com.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Now, certainly this is a kind of a combination article, really, because there's something else running in the background. Not only are the people up in New Jersey a little bit reluctant, so reluctant that they've had the greatest turnouts. This was the largest turnout we've had in years, people pouring out to the polls to vote against these various budget increases in their school boards. But not only is this a vote there that people are tired of, you know, it's taxed enough already, as they say in the Tea Party movement, taxed enough already. But as you probably are well aware, right where you are, the property taxes oftentimes are the largest tax take that you have to suffer annually, other than the Internal Revenue Service pilfering and then all of the hidden taxes. But this one is always right out in front. And what's it based on? It's based on your assessed valuation. That's somebody's assessment. That's someone's opinion. And of course, as we have a absolute glut in the real estate market, both in residential and in commercial real estate, and there are just far too many properties for buyers, as more and more millions and millions of Americans lose their jobs, you can expect that this kind of friction would be building. But it is also a testimony as to the lack of confidence that people have in public education. This idea of guaranteeing a free and gratuitous education, well, when it's free and it's gratuitous to the students and to the parents, they get out of about as much as they put into it, right? Look at the dropout rate. The illiteracy, functionally illiterate students coming out of high school, when they do graduate from high school, so many these days just drop out. So anyway, it shouldn't be too surprising, but this might become not just in a New Jersey news story, but an all across America type of a news story. Here's another, not only an all across America type news story, but an all around the world news story, and a bringing in Agenda 21, food safety, Codex Alimentarius, and all the rest of it in one article here. Monsanto, DuPont race to win $2.7 billion drought corn market. Again, team writing project here. Neither of them apparently can form an article. We'll find out why in a moment. April 21st, Bloomberg New News. Lance Russell's neighbors aren't used to seeing corn growing in the fields around Hayes, Kansas, where the plants tend to wither and keel over in the dry heat. This, they may be in for a surprise this summer. Yeah, they're going to have a surprise, all right. I think Lance Russell might have a surprise, too, when he discovers the opposition to Monsanto seeds and seed banks in corn country. But Russell is planting DuPont Company's drought-tolerant corn, one of the seeds heading to the market next year that's designed to thrive where water is scarce. You know, water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink, Blue Gold, Maurice Strong, the Green Cross International, I've read all that to you in the past. An experimental plot in 2009 improved on the economics of the sorghum crop, quote, by a landslide, Russell said. Monsanto Company, DuPont, and Syngenta AG are vying for similar windfalls. After battling for a decade to corner the $11 billion market for insect-resistant and herbicide-tolerant technologies, the world's biggest seed companies are vying to develop crops that can survive droughts. So let's see, we've got droughts, we've got plagues, we've got windstorms, wind events, lightning, volcanoes, earthquakes. Oh my, what are we doing? Revisiting the book of Revelation here. It's a race at the moment, said Jürgen Reck, a Frankfurt-based analyst at Macquarie Group, LTD, Macquarie Group. I think Macquarie Group were the people that had, what was it, the New Jersey skyline they bought up? They must see market potential. The technology will have wide-ranging effects, from helping farmers draw less irrigation water to lowering insurance premiums and boosting land values. Every time you see that lowering insurance premiums, no, that's what's driving the issue. The avoidance of repetitive loss claims. The insurance industries are all over this kind of stuff. The seeds also may increase corn plantings in the U.S. Great Plains at the expense of wheat and sorghum while altering the market for biofuels. Today there was a leak in some offshore drilling rig they're talking about. Barry the Usurper conceding on the need for us to drill offshore. They're still not talking about opening up the Alaska oil fields, but we're going to concentrate on growing genetically modified corn for biofuel. Biofuel. Study that one up. It takes more energy to create these biofuels than the biofuels put out, but you know how it goes. Yesterday in the afternoon, I got a telephone call from a booster for the the new clean energy bills that are being proposed, wanting me to contact our state senator and encourage them to support the bills. Had about a 20-minute talk before the lady finally realized that she wasn't going to get anywhere with me, and she was having to backpedal so much and cover so much for the specious stuff that comes out of the International Panel on Climate Change and East Anglia emails and all of the rest of the claptrap promulgated by Al Gore. She was having to backpedal so much, she finally just hung up on me. She wasn't getting where she wanted to go in that phone call. But anyway, the Monsanto BAS partnership. Monsanto BASF. I think BASF used to make recording tapes, didn't they? I don't know. Created in 2007, aims to have its drought genetics in 55 million acres of U.S. corn by 2020. I'll say it again. The Monsanto-BASF partnership, created in 2007, aims to have its drought genetics in 55 million acres of U.S. corn by 2020. Better get some of those heirloom seeds, folks. Start building a seed bank for yourself. I don't know whether I'll be able to continue buying corn from the grocery with any kind of confidence at all. Here, let's go on to this article over here. Again, off of Bloomberg, this one under the leaders. From time to time, I'll pull these down and share them with you. This is out of the Harvard Business School. Harvard Business School. The change management challenge of increasing IT smarts. Change-management challenge. Change agents, my friends. The change agents. But this is change management. You know, it's time for a change. Change. The kind of change you can believe in. This by Susan Cram. I don't know where she crams it, but she crams it. Susan Cram. Yesterday, this is her article. She's writing a little bit of information here. Yesterday, a CIO, it's like AFL-CIO, well, a CIO, chief, what, information officer, said to me, quote, "It's time to increase the IT smarts of the rest of the business." And we talk about IT all the time. Doug Owen, Michael Vale, Lee Rogers, everybody talks about IT, IT this and IT that, information technology. Going to have Vicki Davis come on again with me soon, bring us up to speed on the latest developments. But they are demanding more direct control, and they're ready for it, close quote. Okay, setting up this article. It's time to increase the IT smarts of the rest of the business. To which I replied, quote, "Congratulations and condolences. Get ready for an uphill climb," close quote. Boosting IT smarts is a change management challenge. This goes right back to Tavistock Institute. Brookings, Brookstone, Brookridge, and all the rest of the Brooks. But classic change management approaches often fall short because they focus on the logical rather than the psychological aspects of change. Of course, you've got to get in and work on that emotion basket, you know. Don't be logical. No reason here. No common law, no common sense. No, let's not be logical. Let's get into the psychological aspects of change. Behavior and decisions are driven not only by rational, but also irrational factors, including behavioral norms, behavioral psychology, old patterns, and short-term gratification. Short-term gratification seems to be a plague in America. There's a wonderful article published by McKinsey last year entitled, quote, "The Irrational Side of Change Management," close quote, that sheds light on the elements of human nature that often stymie successful change. If you're interested in this, you can go up and visit on Bloomberg, drop down on the homepage, the leaders section, I believe it is, click on that link and find the change management challenge of increasing IT smarts. Then you could click on this hot link to the irrational side of change management. This CIO and any CIO or IT leader interested in fostering IT smarts should consider this research as they define their change program. To jumpstart this definition, here are 8 steps that I believe are critical to creating an IT smart enterprise. Now, all of those of you out there that are entrepreneurs, pay attention. This is what's going to be coming down the pike. Certainly, some of this might be valuable even here on Oracle as we try and position ourselves for a greater share of the market in alternative media. Here they are. Assess current performance. How am I doing this morning, friends? How am I doing? Make sure the IT house is in order. Boy, I did that yesterday. Broke the piggyback. Got a new computer. Oh, God, it was expensive. Focus where the pain is worth the gain. Focus on where the pain is worth the gain. Boy, is this new computer sweet. Well, we'll be right back. Stay with us a little bit more on the change management challenge of increasing IT smarts.
Affordable upgrade for your vehicle. Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound.
Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Sea Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Sea Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Sea Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, Sea Panel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit seapanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, seapanel.com.
Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
So we're looking at this idea, this change management challenge of increasing our IT smarts. And there's 8 steps here that this author, Susan Cram, has written for Harvard Business Review, posted on the Bloomberg website here, sharing it with you. Again, to jumpstart this definition, here are 8 steps I believe are critical to creating an IT smart enterprise. Assess current performance. Make sure the IT house is in order. Focus where the pain is worth the gain, and tell a good story. Yeah, I'm going to have to tell a good story here. Target people who like to change. Change. Do you like to change, my friends? Have we targeted the right audience? Use action-based versus classroom learning. Bite me. In our internet homeschool classroom, we use classroom learning. Action-based. Yes, that's right, where all the children get down and they go through a big bucket or a bin full of learning toys on the floor. They always sit on the floor. Have you noticed that in schools today? Use action-based versus classroom learning. Deliver tools that empower self-sufficiency. You see, if you know how the curriculum is going, then you know really how to reach the people. If everybody grew up sitting on the floor, playing, digging things out of a feed bin and playing games on the floor, then I guess this makes it very difficult to ask them to sit in chairs, pay attention, take notes. Yeah. Very difficult. Maybe we need to change the format on the broadcast. Maybe I need to get a kazoo and a banjo. Maybe a dancing bear or a juggling lion or something. I don't know. But anyway, use action-based versus classroom learning. Deliver tools that empower self-sufficiency. Let's go ahead and sow that lie again. self-sufficiency. Deliver tools that empower self-sufficiency. Incentivize the right behaviors. Pavlovian a little bit here. Dog training. John Dewey. Incentivize the right behaviors. Those are the eight. In this post, let's tackle the first four. We'll tackle the rest in the next post, and you can be sure I'm going to be watching for it. Here's the first one. Assess current performance. Survey business and IT leaders to assess how they perceive the importance and value of IT. Manage the IT asset and view the quality of the IT business partnership. If you'd like a copy of my survey, click here. Boy, am I waiting to do that after the broadcast. Use the results of the survey to understand strengths and weaknesses and identify opportunities, then use them as a baseline to gauge progress going forward. Again, heads up, folks. This is coming down. You want to look like you're really out there on the cutting edge of things in your business? You might employ these 8 steps. 2, make sure the IT house is in order. Don't expect the other parts of the business to get smarter about IT if the IT organization isn't already smart about the business. At a minimum, make sure that transparent IT planning and prioritization processes are in place. Everyone understands what services are delivered and how to submit requests, and IT has a solid track record for delivering on commitments and running efficiently. How many people that are our hosts here on this network are involved in making sure that the IT has a solid track record and delivers on commitments running efficiently, boy. Oh, yes, I don't envy the young men that keep this network on air. 3, focus efforts where the pain is worth the gain. Find out where Pareto lives. I don't know who Pareto is. We're going to have to click on that link after the broadcast as well. But find out where Pareto lives and target your IT smart efforts accordingly. What systems are used across the organization? What systems impact your external customers? What key initiatives are planned or underway that are critically important to the business? Don't work in the background, but demonstrate the impact of IT smarts in the foreground, where the results will have greater impact and be noticed. 4, tell a good story and make sure that it's written collaboratively. Now we understand why all of the news articles have 2 or more authors. Tell a good story and make sure that it is written collaboratively. I guess Bloomberg is increasing its IT smarts. Stories are one of the best ways to capture and retain attention, but only if they resonate across a broad audience. To write an effective story, sketch the outline, leave a lot of white space, and get others engaged in filling in the details. They do that a lot at the United Nations conferences. Make sure the story balances issues of the past with promises of the future. Benefits the external customers and taps into the hopes, needs, fears, and conflict that exist within the business. Sound like the story writers for Barry the Usurper followed this model? Certainly does to me. At this point in the process, the CIO IT leader has identified the high-impact opportunities for increasing IT smarts. And if there are soft spots in the IT that need to be shored up, is addressing those first. In addition, he has built a coalition for change by crafting a story that resonates up, down, and across the organization. Crafting a story. Crafting the change agents, craft and guile. Crafting a story that resonates up, down, and across the organization. You see that in your local newspapers, too, as they're trying to obtain public buy-in by crafting stories that resonate up, down, and across the organization. He's now ready to define the tactics to translate the strategy into action. Tactics, always war gaming, war plan, war room. In the next post, we'll discuss the final 4 steps to help the CIO transform the company into the very model of the modern IT smart enterprise. Well, that's the 21st century, folks. That's where we're going. This is the model. I feel like such a troglodyte. Sometimes I just don't know. But we spoke a little bit about John Locke earlier in the week and last week as well. We're going to continue with more of that study, going towards this idea of enlightenment, the common law, the natural law. And I just thought we'd review a little bit more from John Locke of his ideas in general and their original. And if you haven't been following along on this broadcast, these many broadcasts in the past, I didn't post the archive description yesterday, got very busy. I'll post it today. I think we're like 44, 45 parts in our History of Law series. Amazing, isn't it? How you can just focus your attention on a specific aspect of the bigger picture and just go in deeper and deeper and deeper rather than glossing around on the edge of things. But of ideas in general and their original, again, John Locke, now we're talking about his philosophy, empiricism, and realistic metaphysics out of a university textbook, a 101 series philosophy course, this one I took while I was in school. This is from John Locke's essay concerning human understanding. In his section of ideas in general and their original, remember the word idea is that term which stands for whatsoever is the object of understanding when a man thinks. A man thinks. It's one of the fundamental basic principles. It's one of the most organic points of beginning in life. Man moves. Man breathes. Man drinks. Man eats. Man excretes. Man thinks. This is one of the reasons why hate crime legislation and all of the various, you know, the idea of freedom of speech is so absolutely fundamental. It's out of the ideas of a man that all of his property comes into existence. Not just your intellectual property, but your ideas prompt those actions. Reaching for that banana. Reaching for that next smoke. Reaching for that ice cold beer. A man thinks, his ideas motivate his actions. He reads these kinds of articles, the change management challenge of an increasing IT smarts, and he sits down at his with his day timer and his planner, and he starts planning out a series of action steps, setting goals, things to accomplish in the near future, things to accomplish soon to help set his business on a new course, these sort of ideas. But of ideas in general and their original, idea is the object of thinking. Every man being conscious to himself that he thinks, I think, therefore, I am. Idea is the object of thinking. And we'll pick up that thinking and John Locke and much more on the other side of this top of the hour break. Stay with us back in two.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown as we enter hour number two. And welcome back to our Wednesday, April the 21st, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We're coming to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. And my name is William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day in the first hour. Went through a bunch of financial related news, new news as regards to Goldman Sachs and all of the rest of that stuff, Monsanto in the news again. So much more. People having their own little tax Tea Party revolts against the egregious property taxes all across America that reduces us all to nothing more than just tenants on land that we own paying exorbitant taxes on a monthly basis to our counties, our counts, right? The lords and nobles, right? All that stuff. Now we're going to go back in and start a little bit further into our study of John Locke, the Enlightenment, common law. All of this stuff related, gaining a better understanding of who we are and whose we are as we move forward into the 21st century, trying to map out where we've been, correctly understand where we are, and look forward into the future as wise physicians, correctly diagnosing and isolating diseases and curing those diseases rather than being swept away in symptoms and victims, raising the symptoms to the level of a social science, becoming symptomology, and victims also to the level of a social science as victimology. Symptomology and victimology seems to be the current fare on most broadcasts. But here we try and isolate these diseases. We can eradicate the diseases, there will be no more symptoms. They'll clear up, and of course, that would be an end to the victims as well. Not the end of their lives, but certainly the last victims on the list. So back into John Locke a little bit. This from his essay concerning human understanding, excerpted and found in a textbook here by Melvin Rader, The Enduring Questions, The Main Problems of Philosophy, second edition, published by the Holt, Reinhardt, and Winston Company back in 1969, and available at the university when I went to school, studying philosophy that far back in time. But of ideas in general and their original, again, ideas being that term which John Locke uses, the best stand for whatsoever is the object of the understanding when a man thinks. When a man thinks. Idea is the object of thinking. Every man being conscious to himself that he thinks and that which his mind is applied about whilst thinking, being the ideas that are there, is past doubt that men have in their mind several ideas, such as are those expressed by the words whiteness, hardness, sweetness, thinking, motion, man, elephant, army, drunkenness, and others. It is the first place, then, to be inquired how he comes by them. I know it is a received doctrine that men have native ideas and original characters stamped upon their minds in their very first being. Okay, now notice, writing back in the 1600s, late 1600s or the very earliest of the 1700s, him dying, Locke dying in 1704. But he knows it's a received doctrine. These are the things that have been received over the years, over the ages. Things that have worked their way and found their way into common law and common parlance. Received doctrines. Doesn't mean that they're true. For a long time, everybody thought the earth was flat, right? For a long time, the Hebrew boys thought that the entire universe revolved around Jerusalem. Boy, I'm mistaken. They were. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned, and welcome back to our April the 21st, Wednesday, April the 21st, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. And definitely, for those of you that are out there, might want to jump on your email boxes and let people know about the Oracle Broadcasting Network. OracleBroadcasting.com is a place to get information that you're definitely not getting anywhere else. Certainly here on this broadcast, I don't know anyone that goes into information like this and lets us know where we're really coming from instead of a bunch of just hyperbole. But, you know, anyway, to each his own, I suppose. There's always a very small percentage of any population that really find themselves as leaders and leadership material. And I would hope that I'm addressing them today. We're starting it again on this idea. Of course, your phone calls are welcome at area code 512-904-8014 if you're in the Austin, Texas area, or if you have unlimited long-distance access, or at 866-841-1065. That's your toll-free line, 866-841-1065. Back to John Locke. This idea of ideas, our thoughts, what a man thinks. He continues here. He says, this opinion I've had have at large examined already, and I suppose what I've said in the foregoing book will be much more easily admitted when I've shown whence the understanding may get all the ideas it has, and by what ways and degrees they may come into mind, for which I shall appeal to everyone's own observation and experience. Again, observation and experience, fundamental to the understanding of this branch of philosophy of John Locke, who had a major influence, a major impact on our founders. Two, all ideas come from sensation or reflection. Remember, when we looked at the encyclopedia article days ago, sensationalism figures highly in John Locke. But it's not sensationalism as in sensational from the Bullhorn Boy. We're talking about sensation, senses, sensory perceptions. Let us then suppose the mind to be, as we say, white paper, void of all characters. We went over that yesterday. White paper, void of all characters, without any ideas. But we know that there's more to him than that. Our observation employed either about external sensible objects or about the internal operations of our minds, perceived and reflected on by ourselves, is that which supplies our understandings with all the materials of thinking. These two are the fountains of knowledge from whence all the ideas we have or can naturally have do spring. Don't believe your lying eyes. Don't close your eyes and probe around with your fingers. Just believe what other people tell you to think. Don't think for yourself. Just accept what other people tell you. Three, the object of sensation, one source of ideas. The object, first, our senses, conversant about particular sensible objects, do convey into the mind several distinct perceptions of things, according to those various ways wherein those objects do affect them. And thus we come by those ideas we have of yellow or white or heat or cold, soft, hard, bitter, sweet, and all those which we call sensible qualities. Again, we're talking about someone at the time of the Enlightenment, the age of reason just getting underway here. Which, when I say the senses convey into the mind, I mean they from external objects convey into the mind what produces there those perceptions. This great source of most of the ideas we have, depending wholly upon our senses and derived by them to the understanding I call sensation. Sensation. So now we're starting to get a little better understanding of why the encyclopedist said sensationalism. It's going back to this very, very basic level of understanding in his philosophy. This is where that idea comes from. I found it rather troubling when I read the encyclopedia article, this idea of sensationalism, that Locke was supposed to be the sensationalist. Well, he had a lot of influence. Let's pick up John Adams, political scientist as a historian, chapter 5, Out of the Lamp of Experience, Whig History and the Intellectual Origins of the American Revolution by Trevor Colburn. This is a Liberty Fund book. You can find it on their website, Liberty Fund, Inc. This published in 1998, originally published in 1965. First published in 1965 by the University of North Carolina Press, Trevor Colburn. Writing in chapter 5, John Adams. And again, what is this book all about? Whig History and the Intellectual Origins of the American Revolution. Trevor Colburn went into into all of the various card catalogs. He did a tremendous amount of research into the circulation libraries, Benjamin Franklin, so many others, all of the university card catalogs, and he tried to find and did find and mapped out the earliest possible card catalogs so that we could find out what were in these libraries, what was in the mind of our founders at the time that they were writing. What did they have in their personal libraries? What books did they value the highest? Went in and looked at their letters and documents that they'd written, tried to find their sources to these materials so that we could get a better understanding of what they were thinking about when they created this country. John Adams, political scientist as a historian, chapter 5, for men, anxious to pursue a path of legality for men seeking security for property against British depredations, for men looking for stability at home and abroad. Sound like some of the things we have in our hearts these days? John Adams was a logical and a persuasive leader. All right, so it gives you a little background here in these individuals that were strongly influenced by John Adams. Men anxious to pursue a path of legality, for men seeking security for property against British depredations, for men looking for stability at home and abroad. Adams, again, was a logical and persuasive leader. Educated at Harvard, class of 1755. Remember that Harvard originally was a theological seminary. Trained in law under James Putnam, Adams earned his reputation as a patriot and a revolutionary in a series of remarkable essays. Here they are. His dissertations on the canon and feudal law, his Novanglis papers, and his thoughts on government and his defense of the constitutions are among the most important patriot writings of his generation. And then he goes on and it talks below about where you can get a copy of those, but those are the writings. Adams has long been regarded as a New England Thomas Jefferson, more conservative than his Virginia colleague, but possessed of the same intellectual vigor and curiosity. The comparison does little justice to either Adams or Jefferson. They were both unique. They both deserve to be judged as individuals who studied similar problems. Adams may have brought somewhat fewer books, bought somewhat fewer books than Jefferson, but he read more. Adams was always reading, always taking notes, always referring to his recent reading and his writings. He'd fit in really well here and become vocal local. When he found time, he scribbled marginal notes of varying lengths in over 100 of his books. Adams had an acute sense of intellectual duty and lectured himself repeatedly on his educational obligations. In 1759, reproaching himself for imagined slothfulness, he gave himself the following orders. Here it is, quote, John Adams writing to himself, "Rise and mount your horse by the morning's dawn and shake away amidst the great and beautiful scenes of nature that appear at the time of the day all the crudities that are left in your stomach and all the obstructions that are left in your brains." Well, we'll pick it up with Adams right after this.
Claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
CC is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month.
Remember, that website is teamspeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. teamspeak.cc.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Pulling back the curtain to expose the matrix. Axiom Radio with Rob Chowda. Weeknights, 7 to 9 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So again, John Adams himself, for whatever imagined sloth that he had in his mind, you know, he had virtue, and this is quote-unquote virtue, he had virtue give him the following orders. In other words, he's writing as though he is virtue. And there's a lot to that virtue stuff, you know. This goes back to Francis Hutcheson's inquiry into the original of our ideas of beauty and virtue from which we get the happiness principle that found its way into the Declaration of Independence. Here, Adams, John Adams, this great patriot, political scientist as a historian, writing to himself in 1759, he says, "Rise and mount your horse by the morning's dawn and shake away amidst the great and beautiful scenes of nature that appear at the time of the day, all the crudities that are left in your stomach and all the obstructions that are left in your brains. Then return to your studies and bend your whole soul to the institutes of the law and reports of the cases that have been adjudged by the rules in the institutes. Let no trifling diversion or amusement or company decoy you from your book. That is, let no girl, no gun, no cards, no flutes, no violins, no dress, no tobacco, no laziness decoy you from your books. But keep your law book or some point of law in your mind at least 6 hours in a day." Oh my. Such is my life. After admitting he was too minute and lengthy, he concluded his admonition, "Aim at an exact knowledge of the nature and pick that guy up again right there. Skype trying to drop. You're not going to go to bed on me now. Again, after admitting he was too minute and lengthy, he concluded his admonition, "Aim at an exact knowledge of the nature and in the means of government." So absolutely important for us at this time. Compare the different forms of it with each other. And that's what we do here on this broadcast regularly. "And each of them with their effects on public and private happiness. Study Seneca, Cicero, and all other good moral writers. Study Montesquieu and Bolingbroke." Adams aimed well. He frequently grew wordy and probably alienated potential biographers in the process, but his scholarship is undeniable. Anxious to seek the law as best he could in its fountains, the very words of Blackstone's recommendations of the same goal, Adams determined to furnish himself, quote, at any sacrifice with a proper library, close quote. With typical modesty, he described how by degrees he had procured the best private library of law in Massachusetts. Law led him directly to history, the study of which he soon discovered indispensable. While English history was important to him, numerous other volumes on the Greek and Roman past, Thucydides, Herodotus, Tacitus, Sallust, Livy, crowded Adams' bookshelves, leaving little room for less useful literature. Possibly the one exception Adams cared to make was in favor of Scottish and German romances, which, quote, show in a clear light the horrors of the feudal aristocracy. Show in a clear light the horrors of the feudal aristocracy. As we're being asked to embrace a global feudalism, the global plantation, serfs returned as serfs on a global plantation. Adams read many of the same legal and historical authorities other Americans read. The real mark of Adams' individuality is found less in his initial selection of reading than in his frequent returns to certain books and his highly personal conclusions. When he later reviewed his educational experience, Adams minimized his college years. Here was the ordinary routine of classical studies endured while exploring the more fascinating worlds of mathematics and natural philosophy. When he began his law studies, he found his reading obligations too vast to allow outside interests. The law of nations, civil law, and common law demanded all his time and energy. But he was happy to add in his 74th year that, quote, classics, history, and philosophy have, however, never been wholly neglected to this day, close quote. The entries in his diary constitute an introductory event. An introductory inventory of Adams' intellectual resources. And it continues, talks about Coke's commentaries on Littleton, talks about Bolingbroke again, and so on. There was no need to return to Coke that often. We've talked about a little bit about Sir Edward Coke. I've read some from that. There was no need to return to Coke that often, since a few years after beginning law practice, Adams was introduced to William Blackstone's writings. Of course, these are the commentaries on the laws of England, which I have in a University of Chicago hardbound press 4-volume set. They're available. You can get a copy of them for yourself. Very revealing information in those Blackstone's commentaries. Charmed by this modern review of English law, Adams bought both the law tracts and the commentaries as soon as they became available. I should say I did as well. As a useful supplement to Blackstone, for whom Adams later recommended gratitude without iteration, he read the admirable Lord Kames, author of the illuminating historical law tracts. And you think these guys were ignorant? Bunch of old dead white guys? Brilliant men. Studied men. They wrote simply. And they created all of these various compacts and constitutions. A little bit further here, Adams was always a ready critic. He reported reading Clarendon in 1758 and found him an informed but, quote, very partial writer. Hume was worse. Quote, a conceited Scotchman was Adams' description. In another exchange with Jefferson, Adams explained his dislike of Hume's, quote, unquote, elegant lies, which, quote, had nearly laughed into contempt Rapine, Sidney, and even Locke. Here's our John Locke again, influential in the life of John Adams. Rapine and Sidney were among Adams' preferred authors, along with Nathaniel Bacon, Harrington, Roger Ackerley, Thomas Gordon, and John Trenchard, Burnett, and to a lesser degree, Mrs. Macaulay and James Berg. Adams was no stranger to what he called the fashionable reading of colonial politicians in 1760s and 70s. Well, there's more to that. But it gives you just a little bit more of an idea of some of the influence of our founders, some of the influence of John Locke on our founders at that time. But it's also important to understand that John Locke, again, was well known of by this Ashley Cooper, Anthony Ashley Cooper, the later Earl of Shaftesbury. And, of course, that then, he being one of the proprietors, if not the proprietor, of the Carolinas, North South Carolina, the Carolina Grant. Well, all that brings us around and back again to this idea of the Enlightenment. This is that time period, giving place eventually to Thomas Paine, the Age of Reason. Enlightenment, this again from the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, from the article entitled Enlightenment, this set valued by me, published originally back in the 20s, early 30s by Macmillan Publishing. See if I can get that again. I should have it memorized by now. I'll refer to it so often. Copyrighted in 1931, and this volume that I have printed in 1937. Well, we'll pick it up right on the other side, go back into the Enlightenment for the balance of the hour. Your calls are welcome.
Listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Seed Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Seed Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Seed Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, Sea Panel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit seapanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, seapanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And saved by the break, Arthur R. Hoag, Origins of the Common Law, dropped the bookmark in the previous section, wasn't able to go right to this as I'd planned. Now I've got it in front of me. Let's go into this one. Very interesting book, also published by Liberty Fund Books. This one was put together in 1986. Let's see who the editors are, or the authors of this is. Arthur R. Hoag, there you go, like I said. Okay, Arthur Hoag, this is off page 249, expansion of the common law, just a real brief segment here. But the expansion of Western European civilization since the late 16th century, that'd be the 1500s, has scattered to all parts of the world elements of the English common law and Roman law, Juris Civilis and the common law. The two principal legal systems known to Europeans, of course, in this as well is Lex. On the Atlantic seaboard, introduced common law to the American continent, while French and Spanish colonial activity, say the Pope there, French and Spanish colonial activity brought in laws originally derived from Roman law. The pattern of the territorial expansion of the United States meant the predominance of English common law traditions. But notably, in Louisiana and also in territory acquired from Spain, legal elements peculiarly Roman in origin still exist. In general, however, the common law has been taken to English-speaking countries along with the language. It was our system of law that came with our language. In the British Commonwealth nations, as in the United States, the common law is at the foundation of the legal systems. English colonists in America brought with them the only law they knew, the law of England as it stood in the 17th and 18th centuries. Now we're right back on top of Locke. When the colonies broke away from England in the course of the American Revolution, they framed arguments about their rights taken straight from Blackstone's commentaries. The classical statement of the common law, and of course we read the influence upon John Adams here, Blackstone's commentaries. For decades, American lawyers read Blackstone as their preparation for legal practice, and you know that Abraham Lincoln only had a couple of weeks of study before he began, hung out his shingle and began practicing law. Maybe he was pointed to certain key places in Blackstone, I don't know. Just an assumption there on my part. Chancellor Kent of New York, now Chancellor, that's Courts of Equity. Chancellor Kent of New York, famous for his own commentaries on American law, four volumes, 1826 to 1830, remarked that he owed his reputation to the fact that when studying law, he had but one book, Blackstone's Commentaries. But that one book he mastered. Chancellor Kent's opportunities for legal research at the Library of Columbia College and other law libraries in New York were far superior to those of most American lawyers in the early 19th century. For lawyers on the frontier, Blackstone was both legal education and law library. The enormous popularity of Blackstone in the most formative period of American national institutions may go far to explain why American law kept close to English law. In technical journals, one may find detailed discussion of differences between American and English law. For the layman, at least, areas of agreement are much more obvious than areas of disagreement. But there may be value in noting here some of the differences most commonly referred to. From the outset in America, there has been neither trial by battle nor trial by ordeal. Recall when we started in on Dillaboo and Howard's Principles of Business Law in their introduction that in the earliest of times, it was that knight on shining armor that you would retain as your advocate to do battles for you, which has been replaced by the lawyer, the law merchant, and said, well, the lawyer, the attorneys and attorneys at law and all of that. But once again here, in technical journals, one may find detailed discussion of differences between American and English law. From the outset in America, there's been neither trial by battle nor trial by ordeal. Of course, Alexander Hamilton met his fate in a trial by battle or a trial by ordeal. The hand of Aaron Burr popped a cap in that boy's breast, I think. In America, witnesses were not denied to a person accused of a felony. Special pleading ceased in America. Ancient feudal tenures were not transplanted from England to the American wilderness. It's the second time now We've referred to that this morning, both with John Adams and now here in this text. Ancient feudal tenures were not transplanted from England to the American wilderness, though they tried. They tried. Although the Carolina proprietors seriously considered making the attempt and asked John Locke to draft such a scheme. Remember? So we keep adding these little pieces and little pieces and little pieces, each author bringing out just a little bit more so that we can understand more about this Anthony Ashley Cooper, later the Earl of Shaftesbury, the Carolina Grant, originally anticipated as setting up a feudal system in there, ancient feudal tenures. Carolina proprietors, they don't mention here Anthony Ashley Cooper, Lord Shaftesbury, Earl of Shaftesbury. But although the Carolina proprietors seriously considered making the attempt and asked John Locke to draft a scheme. In America, married women have had more independence from their husbands and control over property. Imprisonment for debt gradually disappeared in America. The English rule of unanimity in juries for civil cases have given way in some states to statutes prescribing an acceptance of a simple majority. In America, the multiplication of reports has widened the fields of citations of precedents. Much more than in England, from that we get stare decisis, judgment. The opinions of the courts in appeals. Courts are more numerous in America. Each of the states has its own body of precedents, and the federal courts also have their own precedents. Since the formation of the American Bar Association in 1878, there's been pressure by that organization to secure uniform state legislation, and boy, didn't they, and also to secure codes or digests which would simplify the law on certain large topics. One can only wonder about the simplification there. This is a development for which English lawyers have occasionally provided models. For example, the American Negotiable Instruments Act, drafted in 1896 and promoted by the American Bar Association, is an adaptation of the English Bills of Exchange Act, which became law in 1882, and are once again our philosophical radicals, Jeremy Bentham, James Mill, John Stuart Mill, and others. Similarities between English and American law are innumerable, largely for historical reasons. The fact that the common law crossed the Atlantic in the 17th and 18th centuries accounts for such a kinship between the two countries that it is quite correct to speak today of Anglo-American common law system. And of course, enlightenment is the liberation of man from his self-caused state of minority. Enlightenment. Minority is the incapacity of using one's understanding without the direction of another. When I left home at the age of 16, and not just home, but left Alaska and moved to Washington State, I arrived in a minority. In those days, you couldn't vote until you were 21. You couldn't enter into contracts until you were 21. And you were always considered an infant until you were 21. And of course, you could go off to Vietnam and pillage, rape, burn, steal, kill, and be killed as a child, as an infant, as a minor. The state of minority is self-caused when its source lies not in a lack of understanding, but in a lack of determination and courage to use it without the assistance of another. Dare to use your own understanding is the motto of the Enlightenment. Dare to use your own understanding. We'll drop down a bit now, reviewing from yesterday. This is out of the Encyclopedia of Social Sciences, the article Enlightenment. Historically speaking, one understands by enlightenment primarily the development undergone by this principle during the 17th and 18th centuries in England, France, and Germany. But although the main ideas of enlightenment reached their complete development and their final victory in the intellectual movement of these two centuries, their roots lie deeper in the past. The enlightenment represented only the continuation and consistent development of certain tendencies in the European mind, the origin of which can be traced back to the 15th and 16th centuries, the centuries of the Renaissance. Here on the threshold of modern times, in the great clash of the Middle Ages and Renaissance, the problems and questions of which the Enlightenment attempted the solution were first seen and raised. Been a long time a-coming, folks. We've got a lot of heritage on these issues.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
And, of course, for all of you out there in the terrestrial radio audience, perhaps you haven't access to a computer. You can't just simply go to oraclebroadcasting.com and go through the show archives, go to Become Vocal Local, open that, and go back through the year of broadcasting that we've done here to access some of the historical broadcasts that we've given in the past. We went through a whole long series on the development of civilization. But you can just simply on your find somebody that has an email system and go to show.archive@gmail.com. Again, that's show.archive@gmail.com. And send a link out to our archivist there. Send a note to our archivist and request a copy of all of the last year's or past year's broadcasts, almost up to date, on a single DVD, MP3 disc that you can use in your DVD player and other media. If you have a non-internet connected computer, or if you have dial-up computing and your download speeds are real slow, show.archive@gmail.com. And for a few bucks, our archivist will send you out a copy of all of our archives on a single disc. You could use it in your automobile or something else. Take it with you to the beach or camping this summer. You can listen to these broadcasts whenever your hands are busy, but your mind is free. And back to our topic here. Again, the Enlightenment represents only the continuation and consistent development of certain tendencies in the European mind, the origin of which can be traced back to the 15th and 16th centuries, the centuries of the Renaissance. And here on the threshold of modern times, in the great clash of Middle Ages and Renaissance, the problems and questions of which the Enlightenment attempted the solution were first seen and raised. It is its chief merit that it did not raise these questions separately, but arranged them around a single center. And this is fundamental to understanding the idea of the natural law, this coming after the prior. In the realm of nature, it represents the starting point of modern natural sciences. Modern natural science, as it was founded in the 17th century by Galileo and Kepler, is based on the presupposition that nature is a closed system of causes and effects, of reasons and implications. The axiom of sufficient reason, as Leibniz formulated it, represents its methodological starting point. According to this, there is nothing accidental or arbitrary in nature. Remember, some have said, nothing happens in government by accident. Right? According to this, there is nothing accidental or arbitrary in nature. Everything in it is ruled by universal and necessary laws. But these laws are not derivable from mere experience, i.e. immediate sense perception. So here there's trouble in here with Locke. Experience represents experience presents events of an infinite complexity, which at first sight completely confuse the understanding and can be neither comprehended nor conceived by it. In order to achieve such a comprehension, the Interpretatio Naturae of Bacon, Sir Francis Bacon, it is necessary to disentangle the manifold threads interwoven in every individual event. So this starts to set up what was in the mind of John Locke and so many others when they began to, they started to come up with this idea, if there are these various fundamental basic principles in natural science, then can there be, could there be such similarities in man? The laws of nature, nature's God. And so they embarked on that study. They went into it, trying to find it. Back to John Locke, his two treatises, Three End of Government, paragraph 222. The reason why men enter into society is the preservation of their property. And the end, while they choose and authorize a legislative, is that there may be laws made and rules set as guards and fences to the properties of all the society, to limit the power and moderate the dominion of every part and member of the society. Fundamental, basic principle to understanding our system of government. For since it can never be supposed to be the will of the society that the legislative should have a power to destroy that which everyone designs to secure by entering into society, and for which the people submitted themselves to legislators of their own making, whenever the legislators endeavor to take away and destroy the property of the people or to reduce them to slavery under arbitrary power, they put themselves into a state of war with the people, who are thereupon absolved from any further obedience and are left to the common refuge which God had given and provided for all men against force and violence, which is, I add, self-defense. Governments being instituted among men to secure the blessings of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, or as Locke says, property, and property, rightly understood, is all of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those just being rather redundant, a colloquy of related phrases. As we studied here on the broadcast from Andrew J. Galambos, property is a man's life and all non-procreative derivatives of his life. And that freedom is 100% control of your property, 100% control of the time. The corollary obviously being 0% control of your neighbor's property, 100% of the time. A clear understanding that my rights end where the rights of another begin. Then we can start to understand John Locke. What he was trying to say and what our founders admired in his writings and why so much of what he's written found its way into our original documents, the organic documents. Continuing then, whensoever therefore the legislative shall transgress this fundamental rule of society and either by ambition, fear, folly, or corruption endeavor to grasp themselves or put into the hands of any other an absolute power over the lives, the liberties, and the estates, that's life, liberty, and estate or pursuit of happiness of the people, by this breach of trust, they forfeit the power the people had put into their hands for quite contrary ends, and it devolves to the people who have a right to resume their original liberty, and by the establishment of a new legislative, such as they shall think fit, provide for their own safety and security, which is the end for which they are in society. That's almost verbatim right out of the Declaration. What I have said here concerning the legislative in general holds true also concerning the supreme executor, who have, and notice, executor, this is a trust, who have a double trust put in him, both to have a part in the legislative and the supreme execution of the law, acts against both when he goes about to set up his own arbitrary will as the law of the society. It's an all-out war raging between legal positivism and the natural law, that in the rise of statism, the state has arrogated unto itself all of the natural law, returned as codified, statutory, regulated privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable. And it isn't any wonder why these writings of John Locke are hard to come by and they're not taught in schools these days. He acts also contrary to his trust when he employs the force, the treasure, and the offices of the society to corrupt the representatives and gain them to his purposes, when he openly pre-engages the electors and prescribes to them their choice, such whom as he has by solicitation, threats, promises, or otherwise won to his designs and employs them to bring in such who have promised beforehand what to vote and what to enact. Sound like the government in this country today? Sound like the Federal Reserve threatening Congress today? Thus to regulate candidates and electors and new model the ways of election, what is it but to cut up the government by its roots and poison the very fountain of public security? For the people, having reserved to themselves the choice of their representatives as the fence to their properties, could do it for no other end but that they might always be freely chosen, and so chosen, freely act and advise as the necessity of the commonwealth and the public good should upon examination and mature debate be judged to require. John Locke, thank you for listening. I'll be back again tomorrow, and until then, have a very good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet.
Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the flaws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.